This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita!
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
And the pitch is swung on, hit in the air to right and deep. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. Into the bullpens in right
One,
center field.
Two,
he did drive the ball to right field. And he did drive it out.
To make the
a Stantonian home run.
The tying and go ahead run.
Scoring position. The pitch is swung on, hit in the air to left center. It is high. It is far. It is gone. It's a grand slam. Oh, a Stantonian home run on Hernandez's first pitch. He hit it high and far and deep in the night. And the Yankees now take a 5-2 lead on the grand salami by Stanton.
In the top of the eighth. And the pitch.
There it goes. Deep left, it is high. Middle far. It is gone. Another Stantonian home run. He swung the bat and touched it off, and it sailed high majestically over the high wall, over the monster seat, out into land zone. The third homer in as many games for Giancarlo.
Giancarlo.
Nosy Fosco Pano. And the Yankees now take a 6-3 lead. Wow, what a shot, huh?
And that was 448 feet. Usually I don't like extra kilos, I don't care. That was 116 miles an hour. And you know what, John? The team that makes the least mistakes is going to win this game. The Yankees just made two brutal ones. The Red Sox came back and outdid them. You cannot give a good team in the middle of their order extra chances. You just can't do it.
It's like this and like that and like this and it's like that and like this and like that and it's like this. And who gives a fuck about those?
So just chill to the next episode.
Welcome back. This is episode 254 of the NYYST podcast. I'm your host, Christian. As always, joined by my co-host, Chris.
Yo.
And SGR.
What up?
What's up? What's up? What's up? What's up? What's up?
What up?
We still got six games left. Let's not get too...
Is this the best feeling you've had as a Yankee fan
by far
show in the 2021 season?
By far, it's not even close.
100%.
Because even when they were going through the 13 game winning streak, you were waiting for the demise. You were waiting for the downfall. But this just had a different fucking feeling, man. I haven't felt this way about the Yankees in a long time.
Yeah, but I got a full on Chubb.
The crazy part about the sweep in Boston is that you still, honestly, in the back of your heart, and you know, in the
back of your heart—that's a new one.
In your heart, in the back of your head, in your mind, in your soul, everything that you believe in, you still don't trust them to go and win this series in Toronto.
I don't feel that way. Feel that way right now. Now, there was something different. There was something extra in the air at Fenway Park that I haven't felt with the New York Yankees in a long time. It was like We always talk about the baseball gods, right? That the Yankees in the dynasty years, they had that something that was just like magic, right? But it also took a little bit of like divine intervention, or in this case, incompetence of the umpire and like whatever was going on with fly balls that, what's his name, didn't catch that. What's his name?
Dalbec.
And it was like
Dalbec. It was like such a Boston Red Sox player's name, yeah, too.
And it was like karma. They got it back after DJ and Gallo just embarrassed us.
Oh, you know karma down at the trifecta?
Trifecta? Is that a horse?
No, that's growing up, there were three strip clubs on.
Oh, so it's a hua, not a horse.
It was almost like a triangle set in the town, right? And there was a strip club on each corner, and they called them the trifecta.
Ah, I didn't know that.
Isn't that karma? That's like that's like how Philadelphia does their ballparks.
Oh yeah, that's good. I think that's what the inspiration.
That was
the inspiration. But anyway, and then Joe West, one of the worst calls I've ever seen. And now, granted, he was miserable all game, but one of the worst calls. And you're just like, if Judge comes through here, this just is a different feel, right? Because like normal Yankees, even with all those extra chances, they still fucking blow it. And then to cap it off, what happened with Stanton again? Something different. It was something different. I haven't felt this way in fucking years, I'm telling you.
You got a little tingle in your balls?
I got the fucking tingle in the balls.
Mm. All right, so we got a lot to break down from the series in Boston. But before we do that, we want to tell you to head on over to patreon.com/NYYST. Please support the show and become a patron. Go to nyysportstalk.com, click the shop tab, grab yourself some merch. The El Capitan hoodies are up there. You know, it's getting a little chilly in the air, a little fall, a little playoff baseballs in the air. You're going to be want to rock in that for the wild card game show. And also, anywhere that you listen to this show, please leave us a 5-star rating and review. And in your review, just how do you feel? Let us know how you feel about this team right now.
Do you have the tingle?
The tingly Bosch.
Bosch. Sliders.
We're going to have to get into that, too, because that was one of the worst commentated games. Worst performances by a commentator I've ever heard in my entire life. Like, we give John Smoltz a lot of shit, and John Smoltz has never approached that level of atrociousness.
Listen,
that A-Rod was on yesterday.
Here's a little teaser, a little incentive to last through the whole show. At the end, it's fucking A-Rod bashing time, because that was miserable.
Miserable.
Right, yeah, I'll bash him. I don't like him. He was a good player. He's a terrible commentator, and they got to get rid of him.
So we can start on Friday night here. This is an interesting game from the perspective of that Gerrit Cole's first start since he got demolished by the Cleveland Indians. It was a big start for Cole because I was listening to a lot of sports talk radio on Friday, and a lot of Red Sox fans were calling into WFAN telling the hosts, whoever it was at that particular moment, that they don't fear Gerrit Cole, that they actually worried more about Nestor Cortez.
This is
than Gerrit
fans Cole. Of the opposing team.
Yes, these are Red Sox fans.
Okay.
Now, if that doesn't tell you that something is wrong, I don't know what does. I don't think they were trolling, because you know you can tell when people are calling up and trolling, and you can tell when people are, you know, they know what they're talking about. They're trying to have a good conversation. And it's true, because Gerrit Cole had come into this start with an over ERA, an ERA over 7 against Boston as a Yankee.
Well, let me ask you a question.
At Fenway Park.
Let me ask you a question. Three starting pitchers this series, obviously. How many earned runs did Cortez give up?
I don't know. I don't remember. Did he give up two? One?
One or two? One or two? How about Monty?
That was one.
How about Gerrit Cole?
8, I think.
3.
So he gave up the most earned runs. while the Red Sox were wearing those atrocious jerseys. Like, how you could even take this team seriously wearing that fucking garbage.
Stop wearing them after that.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, just, well, you know what, bro? Bite your tongue, because the Yankees are going to be wearing some as equally ugly next season.
No.
Yeah. Cortez gave up 2 runs, 4 1/3 innings, 2 earned runs.
It's not like you could say Gerrit Cole threw so many more innings.
After six.
Listen, I'm not trying to bash the guy, but... And in most cases, in most circumstances, I'd say an ace is just there after you get a 6-7 run lead. You're there to just throw strikes. If you get hit, you get hit. You know, you have a big lead.
He didn't throw strikes.
But that's the problem. Yeah. It wasn't. Right, yeah. Shut the fuck up. I can't think. It wasn't that he was just trying to, you know, throw strikes and not walk guys. He lost it. He ran out of gas in the 5th, 6th inning, and he became completely hittable. And that's a problem.
Well, there's two things at play here, right? He hasn't had the endurance since coming back from COVID. He just hasn't, right? So whatever he went through with that, he hasn't been the same pitcher. His stuff has looked really good at times, but he hasn't had that same endurance to go deep into the games since he came back from that. That's number one. Which is a problem, because in certain situations, you're going to need him to go 7-8 innings into a game, and he just hasn't done it recently.
You mean like if your team has a 7-run lead?
Yeah, I mean, like that's, I mean, I tweeted it, like when the Yankees went up 3-0, and it was 3-0 at the end of the one, right? The Yankees should have never had to sweat that game, sweat at all ever once in that game, and they still did. And that part of that is because of him. He didn't go and lock that game down. I mean, yeah, you want to say, oh, he threw 5 scoreless innings. That doesn't matter. Like, it's got to – they call it a rocking chair game. Like, you go – you can just know that he's on the mound. He's going to mow through him. You know, he might give up a hit here. But there were plenty of times in this game where he was on the ropes, and that can't happen. And, like, I'm not giving him a pass, but he's not healthy. We know it. We can see it. He's not. And here's how you know there's something wrong with him. He walked 3 guys in that game. He walked 3 guys and 2 of them he was up 0-2 on. When is Gerrit Cole? When Gerrit Cole is Gerrit Cole, when does he ever do that?
Yeah, no. And that's got to be a statement game. Because out of all the teams, who do you think the Yankees, if they are to make the wild card, who are they most likely to face?
Well, I mean, you know, if the Yankees are going to get in, they're going to have to beat Toronto this series. So that's, you know, with Boston playing, I think, the Nationals this week, that should allow them to extend their lead over Toronto.
Yeah, so it's like this is the team that you're going to get the ball for in a one-game playoff wild card game. You're not just going out there to win. You're going out there to make a fucking statement that you better not be more scared of fucking Nestor Cortez than you are of me. And he didn't do that. And that's where I worry.
So, I mean, the Yankees are in a precarious situation here because, you know, you can win games. You can get through series in the regular season with him not being 100%. You know, their season is going to come down to one game on October 5th. And if Gerrit Cole isn't 100%, and let's face it, he's not going to be. I mean, how much do you think that hamstring is going to further heal in the next couple of weeks here? You hope that he's slated to pitch on Wednesday. You hope that's his last start of the year, that the Yankees have everything taken care of and locked up because that he doesn't have to make an appearance against Tampa. So then you figure he gets 6 days off. You know, maybe that helps him out a little bit.
5.
But how much do you think he's going to be, you know, ready, you know, the vintage Gerrit Cole?
How long do you go with him, too? I mean, if this game's important and you take a big lead, you got to have a short leash with him.
When, on Wednesday?
Yeah, get him out of the game if you can. You have some reinforcements in the bullpen that have been absolutely phenomenal. If the Yankees take a comfortable lead, I'm not pushing Gerrit Cole. Unless he looks great, unless he looks like the hamstring's healed and good to go. I just don't want something, because at any moment, that shit could pop, too. Pop, pop. And then we're fucked.
Yeah, sure. I mean, are you saying something, Ryan? You got something to say? Uh-huh. You got something to say? Got something
to say. No. Uh-huh. I got something to say. Okay. All right.
Why does Francesca still do commercials on WFAN, by the way?
They're just old.
No.
Probably.
Okay, I never said you could use those.
He probably burned a bridge. Probably burned his bridges.
Did you ever burn a bridge?
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah.
Like an actual bridge?
I can't get into fucking Delaware.
I can't go into Delaware.
Okay. I can't go into Delaware.
Okay. Who the fuck I can't cross the Hudson River. Okay. See the bridges I burn. Okay.
I told my aunt. My aunt moved to Delaware. I love her to death. I said, I'm never coming to visit you.
No, I fucking hate that state. Sorry if anyone listens to us in Delaware.
State.
You probably agree, though. I hate New Jersey, too.
Jabroni-ass state.
Jabroni.
Well, I don't want to get into it.
Yeah, please.
So the Yankees did what they needed to do on Friday night, man. They scored. Look, they could have scored. What they really needed to do is score a lot more than what they did. But eight's enough. They got the win. You know, you move on to Saturday night. And, I mean, it was one of those frustrating games that we've seen the Yankees have 50 of them this year where, you know, happy birthday to, you know, a week late or whatever to your lovely wife. But we went out to celebrate her birthday on Saturday night. You know,
Just made me look like 10 times worse of a husband because I forgot last week. And then I was going to bring it up this week. And then you fucking say it first, you know. But it's okay because she only listens when she thinks.
Did any of you have the axe come back at you?
Well, we're going to get into it. We're going to get into it all now. Okay?
That was pretty good.
So,
happy birthday, babe. I love you.
That happens way too much.
I'm driving down, right? No, it takes 45 minutes to get to my house, but I'm driving down the entire time, like during the pregame, Susan's rambling about how bad Nick Pivetta sucks. And
yeah,
he hasn't done, you know, he hasn't pitched well and he walks a ton of guys. And he goes down there. He's throwing the ball like he's vintage Roger Clemens.
He looked good. He really did. It wasn't just the Yankees playing like shit. He pitched really well.
You know, it's just one of those games where, you know, Nestor Cortez gives up a home run to fucking Kevin Plawecki. You know, the Red Sox get another. Was it a wild pitch they scored on? I think it was. Yeah. So, you know, Yankees are down 2-0, 2-1 or whatever it is. And then we're just get, you know, we're like, okay, well, it's just going to be one of those games. We've seen it all year long. And then, you know, we eat dinner, we go to axe throwing, and this little fucking twerp, you know, is giving us the fucking instructions.
Hitting on my wife.
Hitting on your wife. Okay.
As if I didn't, as if I wasn't there.
Trying to make you a cuck. Okay.
And he's the cuck easily. He's the cuck by default.
So, meanwhile, the guy's giving us these safety instructions. Meanwhile, stands up with the fucking bases loaded. I'm literally like one eye on the phone, one eye on this guy, and he's like, "You can die." And I'm like, "Okay, chief." Like, stands up with the bases loaded.
Yeah, we don't
like,
care.
Like,
if he doesn't come through here, we want to die. So,
and
we're
then,
good.
Like, I'm purposely like on the app.
Such a fucking dick. Let me tell you something. I'm watching the game. I have it on my phone on the Yes Network app so that Christian and I can watch. And this fucking jerk off is on his phone on the app just looking at the game cast, which is obviously ahead of me.
Right.
And instead of just watching the game with me, he's fucking going, oh, struck out. Oh, they hit him. I'm going, come on, dude. And then Stanton comes up, the base is loaded, and we're watching. He's behind me. And I'm like, put it the fuck away. He goes, I swear I'm not watching anymore. And then as this fucking twerp is hitting on my wife and telling us the instructions, I feel a tap on my side. And he's like doing his fucking smirk like he wants to scream. And I'm like, he's fucking with me. He's fucking with me. Taps me again. Face is getting redder like he needs to fucking explode. And then 2 seconds later, Stanton just swings and I fucking went nuts. I went nuts, and then I hated him, but in the moment, that was fucking unreal, man. It was unbelievable. I couldn't believe it. I really didn't.
So, you know, I mean, we didn't kill anybody, but I mean, like, this is the worst possible time. And the guy's like, oh, you know, fucking throw it at somebody's head. And I'm like, okay, guy, like, really? Like,
yeah, because then when we started, we didn't know any of the rules. We were, like, walking up while, you know, our wives were throwing. You're not supposed to walk towards a thing because they could fucking kill you with an axe.
Yeah, like, but you're not supposed to be in the lane while the axe is being thrown. And right. We're like, oh, that's what
that's the rule? Standing?
Oh, okay.
Sorry, Will, you fucking dick.
Yeah. Cuck boy.
Cuck boy Will.
So, so the Yankees win. Not for lack of trying, though, by Aroldis Chapman's party to make it a little interesting there in the ninth, but the Yankees held on and win. And then again, last night, another one of those games that they were in the midst of on Saturday. And I don't get it. I don't understand why this team doesn't hit Eduardo Rodriguez. He's an average pitcher.
Especially this year. He's not having a good year. He almost has a 5 ERA.
Not according to his ex-FIP.
They never hit him well.
I mean, they went out of their way numerous times on that broadcast last night to tell you that he's not as bad as a 4.97 ERA.
Let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. How many times did we have to watch the Gallo and DJ fly ball drop on replay? 68 maybe within half an inning.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 68 different times. How many times did they show the Dahlback, whatever the fuck his name is? How many times did they show that? Once? Maybe once. And you know what they did? Instead of saying, how do you drop that? They go, well, he didn't know where the wall was. And I get it. Mm-hmm. Fuck you. And you know who said fuck you the most? Aaron Judge.
Yeah, I mean, let's be realistic here. That was the 2021 version of Jeffrey Mayer home run. So...
Yeah, that's what I was talking about before.
You take advantage. I mean, look, here's where the Red Sox screwed. Not that I don't think it would have made a difference, but I mean, if you're Christian Vasquez, how do you not fucking go bonkers at that point?
Because like, he did it so quick that he didn't even know. I mean, I don't even think he knew. And you know what? I read this tweet today and I completely agree. Don't go to fucking pull it out of your glove so quick. Just catch the ball and that's it. Christian Vasquez is a little showboaty, right? He went to quickly transfer the ball to whip it back, whatever. That's on you, bro. You have a fucking 70-year-old umpire behind you.
Secure the ball.
Who's fucking days away from fucking croaking. He can't even see straight. He's calling balls that are right down the middle, balls, okay? And you're going to try and showboat and fuck around? That's on you, dude.
Yeah, I mean... Usually,
Joe West, by the way.
No, you don't.
Yes, I think Joe West has done a good job in his career. I really do. I never had an issue with Joe West.
Nah.
Cowboy Joe?
He's terrible.
Yeah, he's terrible now, dude. But when we were growing up, he wasn't a bad umpire.
You don't know that. You're just assuming.
I always liked Joe West.
Why? Because he looked like you?
No, because there were so many umpires that I absolutely hated. There were so many umpires I hated that when I got a guy who actually respected the game, I didn't mind him.
So, I mean, if you ever need a proof that Joe West needed to retire, I mean, he gave it all to you last night. Like, the guy's calling. I mean, look, he was bad both sides. Yankees benefited
the most. Not according to the ESPN. He was only bad for the Red Sox.
Okay, well, I mean, the most
hung him up after that game.
The worst call of the night definitely went in favor of the Yankees because Judge strikes out. Well, you know what? He came through there. He rips the double, breaks his hand. I mean, he's out for the rest of the season.
Don't even joke.
We'll see what happens.
They popped it back in.
Yeah, but Aaron Boone doesn't. It doesn't matter though, dude. If he can't grip the fucking bat,
he was in the fucking game next inning. He's fine.
He won't be playing. He won't be.
I guarantee you he will be.
All right, then I get to cut off your fucking pinky.
Fine.
If he doesn't.
Fine. Do you think Cora would?
You don't need your pinky.
Do you think Cora would have been stubborn and still pitch to Stanton if they got Judge, or do they definitely walk him there?
Where was the runner? I forget at this point.
It was
the runner on second?
Runner on, was it second and third? If Judge struck out, there would have been two outs, second and third.
Yeah, you have to. I mean, are you dumb?
No, I'm saying that's obviously the right move, but there's a lot of managers, Boone included, that don't intentionally walk guys when they should. They kind of leave it up to the pitcher. The pitcher gets cocky, even guys like Adam
Ottavino, right?
Who should absolutely walk him. Man. And they say, no, you know what? Man. You know what? I'm going to pitch you.
You don't. You cannot give Adam Ottavino the opportunity to fuck that game. I mean, he did, but you can't leave it in his hands
I mean, he fucked it up bad.
I mean, you want to talk about guys earning a pinstripes last night. Adam Ottavino earned his pinstripes.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, finally. And you want to know something? You want all these Red Sox fans, I don't blame you for blaming Joe West on that game, but blame Ottavino more than anyone, because did he not see when he threw that slider 10 feet off the plate, Judge just fucking swinging at it no matter where it was? Mm. Why are you throwing him a pitch to hit there? Why?
Right. You can still get Aaron Judge out, and you can still get Giancarlo Stanton out, and you didn't do either of those things.
He never went back to that slider off the plate. He never went back to it. He would have struck Judge out easily.
I mean, the only thing, if I'm Adam Ottavino with the type of stuff that he does have when he's on, I don't throw anything other than the slider away to Giancarlo Stanton.
Yeah, that too, but that, I mean, I think he tried to there.
I mean,
that shit just didn't slide.
You got to make sure at that point. I mean, as hot as Stan's been, he still can't hit that pitch. He still wants to swing at it. So, you know, you got to credit these guys that still came through, and the Yankees locked down the sweep against the Red Sox. There's a couple things from last night's game that are a little curious, to say the least. And Clay Holmes was absolutely fucking dominating last night.
Yeah,
he's good. He mowed through the heart of the Red Sox order. And then, you know, Boone's thinking to bring him out for the second inning, which Alex Rodriguez didn't know the rules because then in between innings, Boone's talking to the umpire, and he's like, oh, I wonder if he's asking if he can take out Holmes if he only pitches to the first batter. And we're like,
no, I think our manager knows the rules.
It's like he already threw to three guys, and besides,
and it doesn't
that,
matter. He ended
once in the inning. Once the inning ends, the three batter minimum is no longer valid. Gotta,
come on, A-Rod.
So anyway, so here, Aaron Boone got a little too cute last night for my liking, and this is one, you know, You want to have a nice positive show. You want to have a nice happy show, but there's still some things that need to be taken into account here, where he still has these really. I didn't hear all his post game yesterday. I didn't see anybody tweet about it. Why he went to Jolly Rodriguez in that spot? Look,
I told you why.
I need to hear from him. I don't need to hear your rationale. I need to hear his. Because you want to tell me that you are so afraid of Travis Shaw, a lefty hitter, that you need to get Clay Holmes, who just, I mean, that was one of the most dominating innings that any Yankee pitcher's had all season. Okay.
Yeah.
That you need to get him out of the game to go to a lefty. Fine. That I can understand. Like, I have a problem with taking Holmes out when he's throwing that well, but I don't have a problem if you're going to go to a lefty in that spot. But here's what you got to do. You got to go to your guy. And Wandy Peralta's your guy. Wandy Peralta, since he got here, has pretty much, you know, all right, you want to say it took him a little bit of time to get going, you know, to kind of settle into what the Yankees were doing with him, fine. But since he really hit his stride, he's been their most consistent and reliable relief pitcher. In this type of game, in that situation, the fuck are you going to Jolly Rodriguez for?
I told you why.
You want to go to a lefty, you got to go to Wandy Peralta there. This is the type of shit that you can't fucking have happen in a one-game playoff.
I told you why.
Mm-hmm.
Well, tell the fucking people why.
Well, here's the first indicator that I'm correct. He had double barrel action going in the bullpen, okay? And the only time that makes sense is when you have a lefty and a righty up. When you have two lefties up and double barrel action, it makes absolutely zero sense unless one of the guys is just up to throw a bullpen. That he's not pitching that day, he's just up to throw a bullpen and get work in. We know that's not the case, right? So we can cross that off the list. The only other logical reason to have Rodriguez and Peralta throwing in the bullpen at the same time is because Aaron Boone has this flaw where he forgets that he's managing his own team and only focuses on managing against the opposing manager, where he doesn't want to be outsmarted. He wants to quickly tell you that he was anticipating your move and he's actually going to double down. So what he did was he puts both of them up. He knows that Alex Cora is going to go to Shaw, right? And he knows that Cora knows that when he does that, he's going to go to a lefty.
Righty.
A what?
Cora then, he never let it.
No. Hear me out. He knows that when he announces Shaw, Boone's bringing in a lefty. Okay. In Boone's mind, he goes, okay, I knew they were going to do this, and he knows I'm going to a lefty, but guess what? They probably took the whole half inning to look over Peralta's scouting report because that's my guy. Now I'm going to get them back and bring in the guy that I shouldn't because they're not as prepared to hit him. And that's exactly what he did. And it didn't matter because when you don't go to your guy and you rely on Rodriguez, bad things can happen. And he goes to Rodriguez to try and outsmart Cora and the Boston Red Sox. And it was one of the dumbest moves. It brought me right back to the ALDS last year with the Hap Garcia bullshit. It really did. That's the feel I got when he made that move.
It's a good. I like that theory.
Because you want to know why, right? There's no other logical reason other than him trying to outsmart a manager who's trying to outsmart him. Let him go to Shaw.
Let him go to Shaw.
Fair. You know he's bringing someone else in once you call on the lefty. And why wouldn't it be Peralta?
Because that was the seventh inning, right, at that point?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not like he's saving Peralta.
And I thought, maybe you know the rule a little better. I thought once a team announces a batter, that they can't pinch hit for him. Is that not a rule?
I don't believe it is.
I always thought it was for some reason. Like if the Red Sox announced that Shaw is coming into the game as a pinch hitter, maybe it's... Yeah, no. I always thought that once the other team went to a lefty or a righty, that you couldn't...
I think the rule is that once you bring a pitcher in, he has to face a...
Well, now it definitely is. We know that. I always thought that was a rule. That once the batter's announced, that's when a manager comes out and calls on the pitcher.
No, I don't think it was ever the batter, because I remember it always happening. Even before the three-batter minimum, I believe it was once you brought a pitcher and he had to face at least or throw a pitch, I guess.
But Shaw's out of the game at that point, right? He's announced.
He was announced as being the pinch hitter, so he's out of the game.
Okay, so maybe that's just what I'm thinking. I don't know.
I mean, it was not a wise decision by Aaron Boone, and it almost cost the Yankees the game last night. I mean, he was bailed out by Joe. I mean, this is what I hate when bad umpire, like, it's such an egregious error like that by the umpire, like Mars.
Yeah, but dude,
a big win like this, you know,
when you're creating magic and a special season, these things happen. Okay, these things don't happen when you're not about to do something massive, okay? These things fucking happen. And it happened. And the Yankees fucking took advantage of it. And I only see positive outcome from all that. I don't feel bad about it. Maybe this is the Yankees' year, dude. Maybe. After all this,
why would you feel bad about it?
Well, because it's just like the extra inning shit. If the Yankees win in the 10th because they have a fucking runner on second, you know, it's such a bullshit win. And it's like you just feel like it's...
The other team has a runner on second base as well.
Yeah, I understand that. And
I mean, he didn't fuck this up for the Red Sox on the Yankees side like this either, you know?
No, I completely understand that, and that's the way to justify it, but what I'm saying is, like, you still feel like it's a cheap win. You still get that feeling, and I hate that feeling, but I didn't feel it last night. I didn't.
You want to know why you didn't feel it? Because Giancarlo Stanton erased all doubt that the Yankees should have won that game last night when he puts that ball onto the fucking street and over the monster.
Out of all his numbers that he put up this weekend, this one I didn't even know existed, and it's the most impressive to me. He left zero runners on base. Zero. That's unheard of. Especially for a Yankee to do.
Okay, so he left zero runners on base. Okay. So we got to talk about a little bit more about Giancarlo Stanton. Okay, so you know what's going to happen because people are scumbags. He'll
get booed again at some point.
He's going to get booed again. If he has a 1-for-13 series against Toronto, and the Yankees are in a little bit of trouble when they get home on Friday, and he grounds out with runners on the corners to end the first inning, he's getting booed.
Oh, you think the threshold is that?
Yeah, this year?
Yeah.
Wow.
I definitely.
Yeah, no, I don't think you're wrong.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think you're wrong.
In my mind, I mean, after the postseason and what he's done this year, and in the biggest series, in the biggest regular season series the Yankees have played since he's been here.
Crazy.
He showed out this weekend. He didn't just show up. This motherfucker showed out this weekend, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, he's flipping the bat going bang, nice bang last night. Like, he's like, bang, bang, motherfucker, you dead.
Mm-hmm. Fucking threw it when he just threw it back to the dugout. Like, take this fucking bat.
Yeah, take this fucking. And then he almost killed one of his teammates, bro. So, in my mind, he's earned it now. He should be above. This is it now. He's quieted everybody now. This is it. He's past the booze. He's past an 0-for-4 getting booed now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I know. Yeah. Oh, you know. And I had a tweet that's gotten over almost 900 likes right now.
No big deal.
No, I'm just saying it because like. When you get that many comments, like on a tweet, like stop getting the notifications on the comments, like, and I'm glad because like I don't want to read what the idiots have to say, like, oh, it's not for like, because I said forever, like he's earned it now, like not forever. If he doesn't do it against
forever,
if he doesn't do it against Toronto, like listen. Yeah, like I want him to go out there and drive in another 10 runs against Toronto this week. Do I expect it to happen? No, because as great as he's been, this isn't fucking MLB The Show. Like, you don't have, you don't drive 20 runs.
How about the comments like, I'm not impressed. He actually played up to his salary. What? This is expected of him. It's expected of nobody. No one. If he hit one home run, I would have been happy. If he had three RBIs, I would have been happy.
The guy drove in more runs than the opposing team scored this week.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable. And you know what? You know why? You know when you start to lose credibility completely? When you start moving the goalposts. When you continue to move the fucking goalposts, right? So first, it's like he can do whatever he wants his first year. 38 home runs, 100 RBIs. Yeah, well... He's got to do it in the postseason.
Let's not forget, he played hurt that year, too. He played hurt in 2018.
Him and Andujar fucking put the team on their back in the summer and carried them. And Andujar. That dude who used to play.
He's done.
He was a left fielder or third baseman? I forget.
I think he was a left fielder originally. Right fielder.
You know, and then it was like, oh, well, he's got to do it in the postseason. Then he hits that big home run. I think it was against Seattle at home that really solidified their
grand slam.
Them going into the right postseason. Field, I think. Left center. Yeah. And it was like, I was like, that's his moment. He earned his pinstripes. No, he's got to do it in the postseason. It was a walk-off. Yeah, in the 10th inning,
early, I believe. That was early in the season.
No, then this was later in the year.
Because I remember that game because I was at my niece's high school graduation. And I went out to dinner afterwards, and I remember watching it. Everybody was like, "What are you doing?"
I think this was later in the year. I don't know, but I said, I said he earned his pinstripes. It was such a huge win; they needed to win.
Signature moment. Yeah,
still has to do it in the postseason. That's how you win your pinstripes. That's how you earn your pinstripes. Okay. Then last year, what does he do? He literally is the only person to show up in the postseason for the Yankees, pretty much.
Fucking mask.
Okay.
What, he hit 8 home runs in 8 games?
It's unbelievable. It was unbelievable. And then immediately he's getting booed again this year.
Like, they didn't even wait. They didn't even wait, dude. It was like in the middle of the third at bat, he's getting booed.
It's like, oh, well, we didn't get to the stadium last year to boo him, so we need to make up for it. Like, what more do you want? And now this, they'll move the goalposts back even more. Well, he did it against Boston, but that wasn't even the most important. He had to do it against Toronto. Well, you know what? You know what I hope he does? I hope he continues to force the fucking Yankee fans to fall in love with him, and he fucking hope he dominates against Toronto.
And this is the best thing anybody said about him all week, all day today, really, is that, you know, he took it like a man, didn't say anything, was hurt, booed, struck out. Yeah, I mean, look, people have got to get that 2018 at bat against Kimbrel in game 4 out of their heads now. I mean, he's done enough to prove that he can show up in these situations since then. Anybody can have a really bad at bat. I mean, Derek Jeter struck out in the postseason in big spots too. Let's not forget that. I mean, it's Derek. I mean, if Derek Jeter
Derek Jeter never struck out.
Okay, he never struck out. He's a biracial angel. Okay. That's from a movie, people. I don't need to get fucking racism tweets about that one, okay?
That's clearly not racism, so you're good.
The other guys?
Everything is racism now, Chris. We're white, okay?
It's true. White male.
Wrong. Wrong.
You're wrong.
You're wrong. You're wrong.
That's racism.
Wrong. Oh, I love it.
So anyway, you got to get that 2018 at-bat out of your head. It was bad. No one's denying it. It was one of the worst at-bats I've ever seen by a professional baseball player. But since then, has this guy not shown you that he is made for the moment? Seriously. All right, yeah. 2019. The 2019 postseason and the season in itself was really lost for him. He was hurt all the time. But he was having a really solid postseason until he got hurt and he couldn't play anymore.
Yep.
And then 2020... Like you said, outside of the Gio Urshela Grand Slam in Game 2 of the Wild Card Series, what do you remember any Yankee doing positively, offensively in that postseason besides him?
It's the truth.
And then this year, the guy's been on the field. He had one little stint on the IL. And then other than that, he's been there every single day. What's he got, like 20 home runs since the beginning of August?
So something crazy. He like doubled his home run total in the last 2 months.
So he was kind of having a solid, productive, but not spectacular season. And then when, you know, things really started getting heavy for the Yankees, dude, this guy fucking flipped the switch and he's been clutch. I mean, you don't walk into fucking Boston when you're down 2 for the top wild card and knowing that you got Toronto right up your ass. And have that type of performance if you're not a fucking clutch baseball player. I'm sorry.
You want to know what the best part was? He didn't even doubt that he was going to get up there and do it.
Bro,
he knew it was
coming. You want to know something, bro? Everybody out there, I mean, look, you know, I'm a little bit older. It's probably going to happen sooner or later because, you know, it's just a fact of life. Death. You're going to need a little pop, you know, boom, boom, to do a little boom, boom, right? All you need to do is hear this fucking quote from Giancarlo Stanton. And you don't need any fucking performance enhancing drugs, if you know what I mean. Okay. They asked him in the post game after he hit the grand slam. They said, "What did you think when they brought in her?" I believe it was Hernandez was the pitcher for Boston. They said, "What did you think when they brought in Hernandez to face Rizzo?" His quote: "They better get Rizzo out." This guy fucking knew that if he took the fucking plate, if he stepped in that batter's box at that moment, he knew it was going to be fucking trouble for the Boston Red Sox.
And when's the last time you saw a Yankee that genuinely had that confidence that he knew when he stepped up, it was going to be trouble. When's the last Yankee you could honestly say, like, yeah, I'm not, listen, Judge has been phenomenal. But, like, even Judge, when he's hot, has really bad at-bats sometimes. And, like, you can tell Judge is cooling off because he's not seeing the ball as well. But, like, he never steps up there and just has that fucking look like, dude, you throw me anything in the strike zone right now, I'm ending your fucking career. And Stanton just had that look in his eyes. And he knew it. And he fucking didn't have to say a word. He just fucking swung the bat and demolished it.
So, Giancarlo Stanton has been a fucking whipping boy for this fan base for the past 2 years, 3 years, or whatever it's been since he's been here. Didn't say a word. Didn't fucking flip the fans off. Didn't go with his best friend and create a fucking a whole controversy. Kept his mouth shut. And when the season was on the line, when you all needed him the most, he fucking stepped up. And he saved your season. So if you're going to boo him, now after that, it's on. You're the asshole now. It's not Giancarlo Stanton. Oh, he can't stay healthy. Well, he stayed healthy this year. Oh, he's going to hit in the big spots. He hit in the big spots. So what's your excuse now when he steps up there? Mm-hmm. And because he's going to have a bad game. He's gonna strike out in the big spot. We all know these things are going to happen. It's baseball.
Racism. You're racist. If you don't like him at this point. That's the only logical explanation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there you go.
I was going to say the same thing.
He's Giancarlo Stanton has stamped his spot here. He stamped it. You can't even make that work. You can't even make that work.
Giancarlo stamped it.
He stamped it. And as you heard in the opening of the show here, John Sterling's fucking calls of the two, especially on the ones on Saturday and Sunday, were fucking amazing.
Amazing.
They were. Do kids still say amazeballs?
They were amazeballs. I know we hate Vesgersian and A-Rod, and they were miserable, but you got to give Vesgersian a little bit of credit because when there's a big home run like that, dude,
Santa Maria,
he fucking pumps you up.
That pumped me up.
That's a great home run call there. That's a great home run.
You know we're getting stuck with those two for the wild card game.
Ugh.
Oh, Shiders.
Ugh.
Yeah, so, I know everybody likes to think of the Coles as, like, the first family of the Yankees, and, like, Amy is, and what's the kid's name? Caden?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, okay. I think.
You know what? When Amy Cole is on Instagram.
Isn't it Josh Donaldson?
When Amy Cole's on Instagram last night at 11:30, posting her son walking around the house with a broom, can we take it down a level here, Amy? Because your husband was the by far the worst pitcher to take the mound for the team over the weekend.
Yeah, come on.
And your kid doesn't even understand what that means.
Read the room,
okay?
Amy.
You're clearly just using him. For
Amy,
clout.
Read the room. You know, like, there might be cucks on social media that want to lick your asshole.
Yeah.
Because that's just
call
their shtick.
Mommy.
But we're going to keep it real here. When your husband goes out there and pitches 8 innings, allows 1 run, and strikes out 14, then your son can walk around the house with a fucking broom. When he's out in the 6th inning because he's gassed and giving up fucking 3-run home runs to Rafi Devers. Maybe not, Amy. You know,
Maybe not. Unless you just need him to clean the fucking house, then I agree. Start him young.
I mean, your husband makes $240 million a year, or he's got
hire a fucking house cleaner, dude.
You don't even have
a broom.
Really? Like, why do you even own a broom? It's seriously like
fucking have a hold in the maid's hand.
I mean, really, you got to resort to child labor? Your husband made $36 million this year. You got the fucking kids sweeping the kitchen? That's probably what it was. She was probably like, I'm going to get this motherfucker to clean up his fucking Fruit Loops that he spilled on the floor.
Come on, Amy. Yeah, and then it just so happened they swept. Because that was clearly recorded during the day. Clearly,
you could see the sun shining, coming in. Right, peeking through.
Obviously, you're not leaving the kid up that late unless you're really trying to fucking abuse the kid. And it was pre-recorded. You're probably just making him clean up his fucking Cheerios, and then you use it. You use it to fucking troll the Red Sox. She should have sent it to. Does Giancarlo have a girl?
I don't believe he does. If I heard correctly, the girl he was dating last year is now dating Cody Bellinger.
She could have sent it to like fucking Holmes's wife or whatever for her to post.
What does that say? Like, really, like, you know, let's say this as respectfully as we can here. Like, you hopping around to Major League Baseball players like that?
Who?
This girl was with Stan last year. Now she's going out with Bellinger.
There's girls who just, they go, it doesn't matter what kind of personality you have. If you're good looking, it's just, if you're a baseball player, it's over.
I only date
baseball players.
Former MVPs.
Oh, you're in the minors.
You have to hit at least, how many home runs did you hit last year? Oh, 30. Bye.
Well, maybe she's bad luck because Stanton's been playing much better, staying healthy, and now Cody Bellinger fell off the fucking planet.
Well, somebody was making it. You know Simone Biles is, right?
No.
Okay. Is that a sarcastic
note? Yes. Never,
okay. So she was dating a guy that was she was dating a guy that was on an NFL team, and then he got cut. Well, he might have been. He got cut, and then they were joking. I forget who it was. We're like, Simone Biles is like the greatest gymnast in history. Like, she's got like 1,000 gold medals, and like, now you don't even play for an NFL team anymore. Like, you think she's not breaking up with you?
How do you keep up?
Yeah.
God, he must have been so much taller than her. She's Biles. Like 4'4".
Yeah, I mean, you ever seen like a gymnast legs?
Dude, he must have been so much fucking.
Oh, she would kick her, my dude. Ass. I'll tell you that easily with full confidence.
So tall.
She could be like a running back.
Yeah, she could. What was his name? Falk.
Marshall
Falk. Little tiny little guy.
LaDainian Tomlinson.
Falk would play for the Rams.
Yeah, Rams. He was a little. He was like 4 feet tall.
Was he? Number 28.
Fastest fucking guy I've ever seen in my life.
He's pretty big.
Yeah. Whenever somebody says the fastest guy alive, I have PTSD.
Why?
All right, I'll tell the story quick. All right, so you remember, I don't know if you remember, but it was the final game of the year in 2007. They called it the game that really sparked the Giants' run to the Super Bowl that year.
He is 5'10".
Huh?
5'10". Very short.
So I went to it was the final game of the year. It was Giants Patriots. That was that great game. The Giants, I think they lost like 38-35 as the Patriots.
There's an undefeated season.
Great game.
Right?
Great game.
I was at that game.
No, you weren't.
Yeah. Was it the Patriots undefeated season when the Giants ended up winning?
Yeah, but you weren't there.
Yes, I was at that game. I swear to God.
All right. I fell asleep
at halftime because I was
at my friend Mickey's house.
So anyway, I was sitting next to this fucking Patriot fan, and Wes Welker had a game. I think he had like 15 catches or something. And every time
he had 17 catches.
Did he?
Nah, I don't
every know. Time Welker caught the boy would elbow me, and he goes, fastest white guy in the NFL, fastest white guy in the NFL. I'm like, guy, I fucking got it, dude. I'm like, shut up, you fucking cuck. That word's getting some use tonight.
I like it.
Yeah.
You want to know why? Word. You want to know why?
We are going to start banging.
And you're going to start watching us bang.
I should clip audio for that.
So the Yankees completed the sweep. I mean, they did what they needed to do. I mean, you know, you can't ask for more. I mean, you really would have had to settle for 2 out of 3. You couldn't have asked for anything more than that, but they went the extra mile. I mean, that's why you're feeling really good about this team right now. Ryan, was that a fucking toenail clipper that you just took to your like eye?
Paper clip.
Yeah. Okay. You want to clamp that to your balls?
He uses it when he goes. I was thinking about it.
Do you use that when you yank, dude?
Yeah, I usually just fucking clip it right to my face.
Anyway, so what were we talking? All right, so they're in Toronto now. But before we get there, we got to talk about fucking A-Rod, dude.
You want to know what the worst part is? when A-Rod first signed on with ESPN and before ESPN got a hold of him and was like, dude, stop liking the Yankees so much. Stop being so, you know, knowledgeable of the game. And please use this narrative whenever you speak. Before all that happened, A-Rod was actually pretty good. Like, A-Rod gave you insight that not a lot of guys did. And sometimes it was like too much and it would get annoying. But at least when he was talking, he was making sense and giving you information that most broadcasters don't give you. Can we agree on that?
Yeah, no, he used to be really good.
Mm-hmm. I think he was always good as like an analyst on MLB Network when he would break down footage or something like that. But
he was always as a
broadcaster. He's been atrocious.
Well, here's what I liken it to. Now you're in a new school, right? And you're trying to fit in with the cool kids, they hate Star Wars, right?
Yeah.
They fucking hate Star Wars because it's stupid. And
right,
but it's your favorite movie of all time. Like, you have fucking Star Wars posters all over your house. Like,
you show up to the first day of school with fucking Star Wars book coverings,
and they make fun of you for it, blah 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 blah. Right, but then like you're like, I really got to fit in with the cool kids. And then you go to the school the next day with like a fuck Star Wars t-shirt on.
Yeah,
they accept you, but meanwhile, when you go back home, like, you're jerking off to Lando Calrissian and shit, right? Ryan, I don't even know how I fucking know that name. Sure. It just fucking popped in there. But
is that Princess Leia?
You have the full name of that guy.
It must have been on a TV show.
It's a dude. Gang.
Yeah.
It must have been on a TV show, and I remember the reference. Mm-hmm. But anyway. But meanwhile, you're still secretly in love with Star Wars. You just pretend to hate it to fit in with the cool kids. That's what I get the feeling with A-Rod when he does Yankee games on ESPN. Like, he still loves the Yankees. Like, when he's on Fox in the pregame, him and Ortiz go back and forth as the Yankee guy versus the Red Sox guy. He was in the booth with Conan Kay on Saturday night. I know we didn't see it, but I did see like a still of it. He was in the booth with them on Saturday night. Like, he still, like, it still eats him inside that they gave away his 13.
That's what, you know? Yeah, definitely.
You know, but like, he still wants to be a Yankee. He still wants to be a Yankee, but he's got to fit in with the cool kids when he's on ESPN. So he's got to just notice, especially this year, as he throws around all these anti-Yankee narratives. Just because he's got to fit in with the cool kids.
It's true. You're 100. That's a great analogy. That's a great analogy.
So.
But it wasn't even the anti-Yankee narratives. It was also the, like, sheer stupidity.
No, yesterday, I was about to say, I got a little bit of Audra here. He had some of the worst takes. For somebody that's supposed to know baseball, like Alex Rodriguez knows baseball, he said some of the dumbest fucking things I've ever heard come out of a person's mouth yesterday. Can we all agree that Jordan Montgomery was fucking done in the fifth inning yesterday?
Yes.
Like, he was done.
And even if it was like middle of the season and you're like, you know, let's see if he can give us one more, fine. But in a game like last night, the second he starts leaving the ball up and getting hit hard, that's it. That's it.
Whoever was it, Devers? Devers swung 3-0 and drove the ball to the track.
I thought it was gone.
Right, but anyway, we thought it was gone. But we all said, that's it. He cannot face another batter in this game.
Correct.
And A-Rod is going on and fucking on about he would leave Montgomery in. And he said it doesn't – and the Yankees – were the Yankees up 1-0 or was tied at that point or something?
2-1? 2-1?
It was 2-1.
It was 2-1 New York, right, at that point?
Yes.
In a fucking game where the winner is the top wild card with seven, if you count that one, with seven games left in the season, right? Am I following you along here?
Mm-hmm.
Where he says it doesn't matter if Boston scores, that the most important thing is that you need to, and I'm paraphrasing here, is breed horses. And that it's more important for Jordan Montgomery to work out of it and go deep into this fucking ball game?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're fucking lost. You're lost.
How do you say that? And look, if and I said this in different ways, but let's just take this one. If it's game 65 in Baltimore and the Yankees are up 5-0 and he's getting a little tired in the fifth inning and you want to give him an extra inning, go right ahead. I have no problem with that. We say it all the time. Let him go another inning. You got to test these guys at some time. But with 7 games to go in a game of that magnitude, that's not the time. That's not the time to be worrying about Jordan Montgomery's development and him going an extra inning. And that's certainly not the fucking time you want to die on that hill. And A-Rod was like, fuck this. Did you ever see Gran Torino?
Yes.
You know the end of the movie when...
Get off my lawn.
When the gang just fucking fills Clint Eastwood up with bullets?
Yeah.
That was like A-Rod. He talking about dying on the hill. Huh?
I never saw it. Thanks for ruining it.
You never saw Gran Torino? Well, the movie's fucking 13 years old. Get off my lawn. That's a great movie, by the way.
It is a good movie.
That's a shit.
Yeah, it was just... It was over the top. It really was. And like... How are you not sitting there? Even if you're not like a huge fan of the game, just a casual, you know, fan watching the game, you know the stakes here. Like, you know, Boone has to manage like it's a fucking playoff game. Like, even the most basic fan knows that. And A-Rod's sitting there saying it's time for a little trial and error for the Yankees. Give me a fucking break. Let me tell you something. I've been critical of him, I know, but Jordan Montgomery has nothing to prove to anyone. Dude's been fucking reliable all year. He's really only had one, maybe Who? Two games, Montgomery.
Yeah.
Where he, Definitely. You know, blew up. And
he'd let's be their not, game one starter if they were to win that a wild card game if they played.
Well, let's not forget what he did in the ALDS last year in game 4. He kept the Yankees season alive. And handed the ball off to Cole for game 5. What more does this guy have to prove? He's supposed to be a 5 starter.
Well, now Scott Boras is his agent. What happened with
Wait a minute.
Jessica Mendoza.
She was terrible at her job.
Did she get terminated?
She will not be back.
Okay. Can they do that for Marley Rivera?
Yes, we'll not bring
him. So anyway, it didn't end there for A-Rod, okay? It really didn't, because if you thought that was bad, he really set himself up for this one, right? So, Ryan, I know this is your boy and everything, but the first time that Tyler Wade got thrown out trying to steal, that preceded all the fireworks in the eighth inning there, he had to have forgotten the count or thought that, well, maybe he walked or whatever.
Yeah, no, he said Boone said he thought it was a foul tip for whatever reason.
Okay, whatever. So A-Rod on national television on ESPN drops a gem.
Maybomb?
I wish we had the audio for it. He says that Tyler Wade, quote, needs to go balls to the wall in that situation. It's
the sign of a classy professional broadcaster.
And then, right? And now this guy wants to die in the hill of the most important regular season game the Yankees have played in fucking 30 years. It's probably played in other ones, but I'm just saying that now is the time to give up runs in a 1-0 game.
Because it doesn't matter if they win.
Because it doesn't matter. You need to work on Jordan Montgomery's development. Who cares if he gives up 6 runs, even though he's clearly done, you know?
If anyone ever wanted A-Rod to be a manager, you should think twice after that fucking...
So then he's like, you got to go balls to the wall. Like, there's nobody. You can't. Construe that any other way than what it is, right?
Do you think he got in trouble for it?
I don't know. But then, and because I was looking through my tweets, because I knew there was another one in there.
See, I don't even pay attention enough to the...
Well, when Aaron... It was second and third, right? Because now, and that, when Judge was up, he wants to walk Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
to face Giancarlo Stanton with the bases loaded.
Yeah, so that you don't have to play the infield in. He said so you could play for the double play ball and you don't have to bring the infield in.
Look, I get it from a strategic standpoint. You don't want to bring the infield.
Don't.
Look, I'm going to give him a pat. I'm going to say it from this. You want to play for the double play. You don't want to bring the infield in, blah, blah, blah. There are ways it makes sense. But here's how you just are the dumbest person in America at that point. The last time Giancarlo Stanton was up with the bases loaded in Fenway Park, he busted out some dude's fucking windshield 500 feet away.
Yeah.
And you want to give him another opportunity to do that?
Yeah, with the bases loaded. So, yes,
please tell me that A-Rod should manage his fucking team. Please tell me that one.
Yeah, honestly, it was so bad because he clearly is a mouthpiece for ESPN at this point. And you could stop there and just say, yeah, I get it, you know, that's his job. They're telling him what to say. And then he just takes it to a whole nother level where it's like, what are you on fucking? I honestly thought he was maybe he's drinking. Maybe ever since the J-Lo breakup, he hasn't taken it well. I don't know.
I mean, would you take it well if J-Lo broke up with you?
I fucking hate J-Lo, so yeah, I would.
You hate her as a
and
person.
And then started dating. Yes. Her ex again, and her ex is Ben Affleck.
Batman.
I mean, you're not Batman, A-Rod. Seriously. Like, if you were, we would have had more than one World Series when you were here. So yeah, we just got it. We had to, I mean, really, like, of all the things
it was that were so
going
bad.
On, of all the things that were going on last night, like.
And then after the pop-ups were dropped, it was just got 10 times worse because then the announcers really start to get under your skin if they're bad. And after that, you just didn't know if the Yankees were going to come back, and it was 10 times worse.
But then please, you know, like ESPN made it a point to tell you that no matter what happens tonight, the Yankees have lost a season series to the Red Sox. Okay. Because it's not irrelevant in the sense that if the two teams finish tied and there's no other tied, they both are clearly the two wild cards. The game would be played in Fenway Park. But the way they're saying it is like, yeah, well, you know, even if the Yankees sweep, the Red Sox still won the season series.
Well, they had to get it out of the way first before they talked about how well the Yankees played. And that's the whole point.
And then, you know, like they also made it a point to say, well, you know, this series is way more important to the Yankees than it is the Red Sox.
Not really, because the Red Sox are now not the top fucking wild card.
Nope, they are not. So, as we finish up the show here, we have to play a little game. I said I wanted to do this. I didn't really prepare for it. We'll do better at it next time, but it's a new segment on the show. It's called Yankee or Smart.
Smart or Yankees?
Smart or Yankees. That's the better way to say it. Smart or Yankees. Okay. So here's a little. This is like the pilot episode of Smart or Yankees, I guess you could say. Now, Michael King has come off the IL, gone into the bullpen. Looks like a completely different pitcher. Dominating at times, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Now, logic would tell you that based on what we've seen through the past few years of Michael King, that he's average to okay to below average in any of those realms as a starting pitcher in Major League Baseball.
Correct.
As a reliever, we've seen him max out at being straight up dominant, a guy that you can work with more time, work into being in real high leverage situations, you know, maybe a Ramiro Mendoza type where he can come in, you know, get out of big jams, pitch two or three innings, be that type of guy with really great stuff where he doesn't have to, you know, leave stuff in the tank to go six innings where he can just max it out and be dominant. Right.
Correct.
So Smart or Yankees? In 2022, will Michael King be a starting pitcher?
100% Smart. Yankees. 100%. They will not leave him in the bullpen. Tell me where they've shown me that they've learned their lesson. Tell me where. Jabba? Was it Jabba?
No, I agree with you. I think they're going to Yankees him, and I think it's stupid because you need to kind of replenish this bullpen. You know, we have all offseason. Hopefully now with the way the Yankees are playing, this is something that we talk about in a month and not in fucking a week. But, you know, Britain's not going to be here next year. You know, could you see a scenario where the Yankees tried to trade Chapman? Is Green a guy that you rely on now as much as you have in the past? You know, there's going to be spots and spots for big situations that you're going to need to fill in this team. And why don't you transition Michael King into being the old Chad Green, where if you still trust and believe in Chad Green, you make him a primary setup guy?
Well, I love the reinforce. Like, this is what I love, because the Yankees have always had a solid bullpen, but they've always mixed it with like guys that you have no idea who the fuck they are. They're a bunch of fucking losers. And then when your big guys start to, you know, fall apart a little bit or are overused, then it becomes 10 times worse that you don't have anyone to rely on. I like the positive reinforcements. I really do. I think I tweeted this last night. I said, in a season where Cashman has acquired Joey Gallo and fucking Anthony Rizzo, Clay Holmes is going to prove to be the biggest acquisition he's made. I love him in there. Michael King has been great. Seve, for what he's been doing, has been great. And it gives you a different dynamic to this bullpen where you don't have to use your big guys if you're down a couple runs, but you still have guys coming in that aren't letting the game get away at all. And look what the Yankees won the last two games in the eighth inning, because right. stayed in it.
And keeping a guy like King in the bullpen where he can be a multiple inning guy, you know what else it does? It keeps Jonathan Loaisiga fresh, where you don't maybe have to use him 2 days in a row for multiple innings. Like, and you don't have to rely on him to the point where his shoulder falls off, you know?
Yeah, 100%.
You know, Loaisiga is their best and biggest weapon out of that bullpen. And you know what? He's had a history of shoulder injuries and shoulder issues. And especially coming off of 2020, you know, these types of things were going to happen. But if they had a King in there all season long, maybe he doesn't get hurt. I mean, you know, chicken or the egg, well, you know, which one, you know, preceded the other. But it's something that the Yankees should look into. So, I mean, like, Smart or Yankees, like, what are they going to do with Michael King?
They definitely.
I mean, it would be Yankees to make him a starter. And honestly, like, if I had to put money on it, I would say they're going to Yankees Michael King instead of doing the smart thing.
I say 100%. I'm agreeing with you. I hope I'm wrong.
Is Ryan still with us? Uh-huh. Check.
Yeah, I don't know. It depends what they're going to. I like your thinking that they need to kind of add some pieces to the bullpen. Maybe they will keep him in the pen.
Right, and here's another thing. They need to add pieces to the bullpen, and if they're really set on a certain number but they want to spend big on a player in the offseason, you can't be spending $15 million a year on fucking more relievers, you know. So Michael King is a guy that's going to make what, $1 million next year, and has the potential to be a really important piece to your bullpen. I mean, it just makes a lot of sense. So, you know, I think that even with Corey Kluba, I don't think he'll be back. I think even with him going, the Yankees can be fine in the starting rotation, unless you're going to tell me Luis Gil's not ready.
That will never happen. Trust me.
I mean, that's another addition of Smart Yankees. We can get into with him, but yeah. So I mean, I would love to see King just stay a reliever. I know he probably doesn't want to, because middle relief guys don't get paid like starting pitchers. But hey, you know what? You can still make a fucking nice living being a really reliable setup guy. So I would hope the Yankees do the smart thing. But if you have to put a vote on it for this segment, it's definitely
Well, how many big time starters turn into relievers and make a full career out of it? most big relievers have come up as a starting pitcher.
Yeah, but even a fucking schlub like Andrew Heaney will get $5 or $6 million as a free agent next year, where Michael King can actually and go in the bullpen next year and be the best reliever in Major League Baseball, and because of his you know, his stature or whatever, would get like $2 million. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's why, from the player's standpoint, I see it, but you know, from the organizational standpoint, it would be stupid or be Yankees to keep Michael King as a starting pitcher. And speaking of keep, as we close out the show here, Jameson Taillon's off the IL. He's starting Tuesday against the Toronto Blue Jays. That means somebody's got to go, right?
Naheem.
Who was it? Albert Abreu gets sent down, and he fucking survives again. Now, I know there's six games left in the season, right? And if Andrew Heaney sees any of them, you'll hope it's game 162, because the Yankees have that top wild card wrapped up, and they just need somebody to go in there and fucking get the game over with, right? But what does he have on Brian Cashman?
It's crazy, man.
He has survived. As the Yankees have gotten every single one of their guys back, he has survived.
They just don't want to let him go.
Fucking postseason roster.
He better not.
Imagine a lefty?
Imagine he's on the wild card roster.
No.
He might be.
No.
Ryan, I would trust fucking Rougned Odor to get me an out in a wild card game more than I would trust fucking Andrew Heaney. But he survived again. The Heen dog. I mean, you got to start asking questions like that. Like, what does he have in Brian Cashman?
And it's not like Abreu, like, it was some fucking big-time player. But Abreu had some big moments. Like, Heaney pitched that game against Boston. I'm giving him the credit. He was great. It was a big game.
But we said that. We said, don't go down the well again.
No,
there's no more water in that well.
That's it. I promise you, that's the best you're going to get, dude. He hit a ceiling. And now he's fucking crashing down to the floor.
Yeah, so I'll tell you one thing. You know, people always ask me, what's like the one thing that the Yankees could do that you wouldn't root for them anymore? And if Brian Cashman gives this fucking guy a contract next year, I think I'm out.
Oh, my God, that will never happen. That will never happen.
And we're going to be sitting here one day getting ready to prep for the show, and we're just going to see Yankees re-sign Andrew Heaney 2 years, $14 million. And I'd be like, I'm done, dude. Done. Like, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. Yeah, I can't. I wouldn't be able to. So here we go. Another, you know, it's not going to end now. We're in the, what did they say? In
the home stretch.
No, Ryan, what did they say? What did Dr. Strange say? We're in the end game now?
We're in the end game now.
Yeah, this is it, dude. I mean, we started with the Red Sox. Yanks swept. Now, this is another big series. The Yankees can't take their foot off the gas here. If they go out and win this series, then they're going to be set up pretty nice, where they might only need to win one game against Tampa, you know? Because you're gonna, if you win this series, you're gonna put yourself another game ahead of Toronto, which are already two up. So you'll be three going into the final three games, where if you win a game, you clinch the second wild card. Then you see what Washington does against Boston. So the Yankees have to keep their foot on the gas here and win the series. I mean, if they do that, they're basically in the postseason. So, and with Gerrit Cole pitching on Wednesday, you gotta give me something, guy. Like, I don't get me wrong. Like, we've been ripping on Gerrit Cole, but I fucking love the guy, dude. I really do. And I'm fucking disappointed in the way he's performed recently. Like, I want to go out there and I want to see him fucking even get into the seventh inning, 10 Ks, one run. So I can, on Wednesday night when we're watching that game, like, that's my fucking ace. And I want to feel good about this guy taking the ball on October 5th.
Whoa.
And right now, I don't feel good about it. Like, everything was great about that sweep in Boston. Like, John Carlstan showed up. There was a lot of guys in that, especially in that bullpen, on that pitching staff that showed up, you know. And I, you know, fuck Evan Roberts too, because, oh, Aaron Judge didn't have a great offensive series. Maybe he didn't, but guess who set the fucking tone for everything that happened in Friday Fenway night. Over the weekend? On Aaron Judge on Friday night in his first at bat. So that's what people don't look at these things like we look at them. Like, Aaron Judge's postseason numbers may not jump off the page at you and be like, oh, this guy's not a superstar in the postseason.
No, but he sets a tone.
He sets a fucking tone a lot of the times for a lot of big Yankee wins in the postseason. And when he doesn't, they lose.
And look, this is obviously the biggest series of the season. But the only reason that it is because the Yankees took care of business leading up to it. If they fell short in Boston, this series probably doesn't mean as much because they're probably...
this is how important that game last night was after they first took the first two. They would have needed to sweep Toronto.
Exactly.
To really solidify things.
Winning this series means everything. And like you said, you can't take your foot off the gas, man. Fucking, if anything, floor it and fucking barrel through and keep winning ball games. And you know what? Set the tone. It's so important they go out there tomorrow night and set the tone.
They owe Toronto for that fucking embarrassment that happened at Yankee Stadium last month.
Yeah.
You know what you do? Go up there for the first time in 2 years, shut those fucking Canucks up, and knock Toronto out of the postseason. Okay? That's what you got to go up there and do. And honest to God, dude, I don't like that Jameson Taillon is getting basically a fucking rehab start tomorrow night. But the Yankees got to see what he's got at the major league level. They do. Yeah. I mean, if you want to get to where you got to go this year, I mean, Jameson Taillon's got to play a part in that in the postseason.
Short leash, you got Seve out there.
Exactly.
To piggyback
himself. He's going to have 2 days of rest now. King's going to have 2 days of rest. Herman still hasn't fucking thrown since he's been called up. You got your pieces out there. You're going to have a day off for Green, a day off for Chapman. You know, even if you got to go to the pen in the second or third inning, you can't let this game slip away from you, because you want to know why. You got to put the pressure on Toronto. They went out, you know, they came back and they won the final two games of the series against Minnesota. But don't think that they're not thinking in the back of their head that, you know what, we didn't do what we needed to do, like, against Minnesota. They didn't. They lost the first two games of that series.
The first game of the series is the most important by far.
So you can't let Jameson Taillon work through something like all of a sudden, like, oh, we swept Boston. Like, no, you got to keep your foot on the fucking gas right now. You can't let Jameson Taillon work through shit. You want him to hit a certain pitch count? You know what? If he's fucking jerking around and you don't think he's going to get through the third, pull him and stick his ass out in the bullpen and have him fucking finish the game in the bullpen.
I agree. Short leash. You got too many guys out there to not use them.
And then you just... You got to make sure you get that first one, and then you got to rely on Gerrit Cole to be Gerrit Cole. If he has another even 6-inning, 3-run performance looking like he did in Boston and the Yankees win, okay, fine. He did enough to win. But I got to have that feeling. I'm telling you, Chris, and Ryan, I got to have that feeling when that game is over on Wednesday that our ace is ready to fucking take the ball on October 5th. And I don't feel that right now. And I hate that I don't feel that. But that's what Wednesday is for. Wednesday's got to show me. He's got to show me. And everybody listening to the show, every Yankee fan, Gerrit Cole's got to take the fucking ball in an extremely important game on Wednesday and give you every last bit of confidence that he's going to go out in Fenway Park or Yankee Stadium, or wherever that fucking game is going to be, and he's going to be the $340 man that erases all doubt that you only need to score 2 runs in that game because he's got it.
100%.
That's what Wednesday's for.
Making a statement.
I believe, is it Nasty Nestor on Thursday to close the series?
Yes.
It's Kluba.
Oh, Corey Kluba. Mm-hmm.
Kluba is closing out this. So Yankees playing with the rotation a little bit, huh?
Yep.
So all 707
finding
starts.
Things up.
It's Taillon, Ryu, and then Cole and Berríos, and then Kluba against Robbie Ray. So Toronto's throwing 3 really good pitchers. The Yankees are throwing 3 really good pitchers. It's just going to – hey, if we always say, like, everybody's talking about strength of schedule. Oh, Toronto's playing Baltimore and Minnesota, and Boston's playing Washington and fucking Baltimore, and the Yankees have got to play this team and that. Look, there's no Baltimores in the postseason. There's no Kansas Cities in the fucking postseason. If you want to win 28, These are the teams you got to beat. So I'm not worried per se about the other team's schedules, because if the Yankees are going to win the World Series this year, they got, they should be able to beat Boston. They should be able to beat Toronto.
They have to beat them.
They have to beat them. Exactly. So I'm not worried about the other team's schedules, because if the Yankees are going to get to where they got to go, these are the teams that they got to beat. So fucking beat them. Boom.
Boom.
All right. So that should conclude episode 254 of the NYYST podcast. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for your continued support of the show. Follow us on Twitter at NYY Sports Talk. Ryan is wearing a very small hat right now. Okay. All right. Okay. So please go to patreon.com/NYYST. $5 a month gets you exclusive shows and discounts on merch like your El Capitan hoodie, which you need right now. I mean, it's fucking 50 degrees when you leave the house in the morning.
I'm cold.
Chilly.
It's a little chilly out, so you need a new hoodie. You need to go cop that at nyysportstalk.com. Click on the shop tab. And please go to Apple Podcasts where you listen to the show. 5-star rating and review. We need that picture of Ryan on social media right now. Chris, can you take a screen grab of this?
I can, actually. I think. I don't even know how to. I think
the red screen.
Crack. There's a pop.
Don't move. I got it.
All right. So thank you very much for listening to the show. SGR.
Go Yanks.
Chris, say goodbye.